Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we do thank you for taking out the time this evening to be a part of this ministry this evening. It's interesting. I'm sitting here, and I'm waiting, and all of a sudden, you know, my phone just goes out, you know, and I'm saying, the devil You are a liar, okay? You're not going to prevent this from happening this evening. So we kept trying to turn my phone off and rebooted it. So thank God, you know, everything worked out. Amen. That's how God is. Even though that we have trials and there are obstacles that we go through, you know, if we continue to keep the faith, God is definitely going to work everything out. Amen. As we move forward, for those of you who are tuning in, listening by internet, we have an interactive ministry, and if you would like to call in and if you have a question for the speaker, you can call in and be a part of the conversation, and the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. This evening we have the pleasure of going back home, should I say, you know, to West Virginia, in Princeton, West Virginia. That's my hometown, and I just always love to hear anyone that has come, you know, out of Princeton or still, you know, there. It is always a blessing to my heart, you know, as a child just growing up and just the memories and so on and so forth. So it's just good to know, you know, men and women of God are still proclaiming the gospel from Princeton. So we are back in Princeton with Bishop Charles Store. Many of you have heard him before, and if you have not heard him, you're in for a treat this evening. Amen. He has a word for you. So as we move forward, we're going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, then we're going, next voice you hear would be Bishop Store. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being the Alpha and the Omega. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the mercy and grace that you bestow on us day to day. And Lord, we just do not take it for granted. Father, we come today, Heavenly Father, praying for the Hines family, Heavenly Father, a young man who is just taking his life, Heavenly Father. We're just praying that you would give peace, Heavenly Father, amongst those family members, Heavenly Father, that you would give them the peace, Heavenly Father, and let them be able to feel and know, Heavenly Father, that your God has said you will never leave them, nor would you forsake them, Heavenly Father. Lord, Father, we ask, Lord, that if they don't know you and the pardons of their sins, Heavenly Father, that they may come to the realization that you are the same God yesterday that you are today, and you are a true and living God, and we give you honor, we give you glory, we give you praise, Heavenly Father, not just tonight, but on a daily basis. And Lord, Father, if there's anyone else that's going through struggles or any other temptations or any illness, Heavenly Father, we come against it in the name of Jesus. You are God, Heavenly Father, Lord, that has given us the authority to be able to call those things out. And Lord, Father, we just speak them out right now, Heavenly Father, asking that you would minister to their needs. We thank you for being the God of all times. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. And we thank you for the speaker this evening, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the word that's coming forth. And we thank you for the blessings, Heavenly Father, that has been received, ears and hearers, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this prayer. Amen, amen, amen.
And
now we move on to Princeton, West Virginia. Our next voice you hear is Bishop Charles Stores from out of Princeton, West Virginia. My brother, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? Can you hear me? Can you hear me well?
Oh, my goodness. We are, you know, within these trying times, you know, there are struggles here and there, but, you know, we just give the praise of God, you know, for allowing us to be able to make it through the storm. Amen. With this COVID, these uncertain times, God is calling, you know, his people to come together and to pray, you know, as a body of Christ. So, you know, we're giving and we're praying that you and your family are doing the same. Amen.
Yes, yes, amen. We are. I give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to you, Dr. Clay, to Dr. You, Dr. Suzanne. We give you honor. We thank you for the opportunity. It's been a while. We are actually going to be blessed to begin back in. Resume in-person service coming this Sunday. It will be our first Sunday since last March. I've had several family members, as you was talking about COVID, several family members that have struggled with it. Some that just got out of the hospital, some that's still in the hospital, a few that succumbed to COVID-related issues after they recovered from COVID, and my cousin and my uncle passed away, and my bishop as well. So, you know, it's been trying, it's been difficult. thank God that I haven't, you know, had any issues. My wife works at the hospital and working with them and hadn't had any issues. So we're just blessed in the midst of everything. We're just blessed, and, you know, I'm really thankful for the opportunity. I won't really prolong it. I'm just going to kind of go into it today, if I could, just briefly, and then we will get that opportunity to just everybody to interject something. But just a little something that I had been thinking about that was on my mind, and the table's already been set. The prayer has been prayed, so we thank God for that. I wanted to go to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter of Matthew, and I wanted to read verses 1, verses 4, and verse 13 through 18. And I'm going to read this from the NIV, and it says, "The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And then he said, 'A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah.' Jesus then left them and went away." Verse 13 begins with, "They replied." Verse 13 begins, excuse me, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overcome it.'" And I was just thinking about just different things. Jesus is giving his great confession. He reveals himself to his disciples, and he goes to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He's calculated. God does things intentional. He moves intentions and in moments. And I believe, as far as the church, there are moments in time that solidify our authenticity. I think that there's moments that announces our worth and our value to others, and there's moments that reveal. And so I'm really concerned about the spiritual condition of the church, because in her attempt to be all things to all people, we must be careful not to lose the identifiable purity that distinguishes us from the world. And so routine must be our enemy, because routine dilutes our passion. The more diluted our passion, the further away we get from people, and the more susceptible we are to think of our own agenda. Because routine is a repetitious character. It's ordinary and it's passive. And to remain passive and ordinary is to eat the bread of eventual extinction to be a relevant voice in the world today. And so we know that every outward manifestation has an unseen source, and that source has its roots in an ideology that is pure, from a pure understanding, or it's actually from a vanity of a compromised understanding. And so we actually stand in this moment at the doorstep of revival, the same as Jesus did when he moves and he operates with his disciples. He's taking his disciples to this particular place, this region, and he's getting ready to reveal himself, but he's asking a question. But before he gets there, he tells the disciples, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as a group of individuals. And I think, if I could briefly just to say, we're going to talk about it as far as the church, how it pertains to the church universe, and then how it pertains to us as individuals, because individuals make up the church. And so Jesus, the disciples, are the Pharisees and the Sadducees, come to Jesus and they ask for a sign. They're asking him for a sign. It's interesting that the Pharisees and the Sadducees are two different groups of people. The Pharisees was one group of people that were so legalistic, and they were so into all of the legalism of things. And the Sadducees, they were the people that didn't really, they were materialistic. They really didn't believe in the supernatural and all this. They actually hated each other or disliked each other, but they had a common enemy in Jesus. And so it's kind of funny how you can be around in this season, in this time, in this moment, you can be around people that really don't like each other, but they'll get together because they have a common enemy within you. They really don't like each other, but they don't like you more, so they'll get together just to create a problem or an obstacle for you. And then they come and they ask Jesus for a sign. They say, "Give me a sign." And Jesus is, we're in the 16th chapter of Matthew, so Jesus has already performed all kinds of signs. He's already proven himself. He's already let them know who he was, so to speak. And I think from a perspective of a church, we are very immature if right now we're still seeking God to prove who he is in the midst of everything that goes on. In the midst of this pandemic and everything that's happening, God is God all by himself. He doesn't have to do anything else for me. If he doesn't do anything, I already know who he is. I don't need him to prove himself to me anymore. I don't need a sign for him to show me that he is God. He's in control of all things and how things are. So I'm comfortable with who he is. But on the personal level, there are some people that always continually you have to validate who you are or your worth to them. You always have to prove who you are to them. We're in this moment right now where you've always got to jump through hoops for somebody, so to speak, or you always got to do this, and you always got to do that. And so he's telling the disciples, he's letting the disciples know, the Pharisees and Sadducees, excuse me, he said, you're looking for a sign. He said, but there won't be none given. In other words, he was like, except for the sign of Jonah. He said, there will be none given. He said, I've already proved to you. I can't prove to you anymore. It's amazing how there's going to be some people that will never actually be happy with what you have done for them or what you do or who you are. And Jesus departs from them. He leaves them. And then he tells his disciples, he said, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's warning his disciples not to fall into this cynical, negative, faith-deprived mindset. And I'm telling you, it was amazing how I could see some of the church adopt some type of belief and system and things from political parties, from realms of all kinds of areas where they were just diluting and diverting their attention to all kinds of things because they were so caught up in everything else other than the true God, other than just the actual true God. And so we're in a time right now where we can be increasingly susceptible to destructive messages and poor theology. And we can even adopt that negative, destructive viewpoint if it means benefiting us personally. There are some people that will adopt a viewpoint because they will benefit from it. Even if they don't agree with it, they'll benefit from it. That's the leaven or the fermentation of the things that is not pure. And they'll call it holy. They'll call it righteous. They'll call it this. And they'll lure people further and further away from all this. And I think that when we lose the attitude of gratitude, so to speak, or the appreciation of God, that we have now, we're going to be struggling in this next move that God is moving and God is doing. And so I think that that's one of the issues that the leaven of the Pharisees and all this. And so it's amazing that he tells them in the other verses, he goes into the verses in verse 13, he talks to the disciples, and he asks the disciples, he says, well, who do people say that I am? And he says, some of them say that you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah. Others say that you're Jeremiah. John the Baptist, he preached in the wilderness. He was a preacher who preached in the wilderness. Elijah, he defended the worship of Baal in 1 Kings 18. And Jeremiah was considered the weeping prophet. He was the author of the book Lamentations. He talked about the Judah suffering in exile. All of them had a common denominator. They were all dealing with the chaos and confusion that was going on in the world at that time, at that condition. And I believe, brothers and sisters, in this chaos and confusion in this world, we're looking for, through the pandemic, we're looking for help here and help there. And I'm not saying anything wrong with that. We're looking for this type of health and that type of health. But is God showing up? Is God this? Is God this? And then I think about Jonah. When he points me back to Jonah, when he looks at Jonah and he says that there's no sign given except Jonah. Jonah actually was called to do something, and he refused to do it, and they tossed him overboard because they were dealing with some chaos, and a great fish came and swallowed Jonah up. The fish was actually the grace of God in the midst of what was happening, and the fish didn't really look like it was anything, or the great fish didn't really look like it was amounting to anything, but it was actually God's grace given to Jonah. It preserved him. It wasn't. It was dark. It was chaotic. It probably didn't smell good. He probably had to deal with it a little longer than he dealt with, but it was actually God's grace that was sustaining him and preserving him for a particular time. And I believe that however dark or however nasty or however chaotic a situation might be right now, that's still God's grace sustaining us for the next move he's doing, because the next thing that Jonah had was a resurrection. After the dark hours, there is a resurrection. And what the other disciples or the other prophets, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, the things that they had in common was they were concerned and dealing with a group of individuals, Judah in exile, Jerusalem. They were dealing with individuals that had fallen further and further away from really just worship and they needed to be in a place of repentance. And I believe that God is calling us to be in a place of real, true repentance, because he also asked them, well, who do you say that I am? And from a personal level, people will have a tendency to define you by the experience that they have of you. And any misunderstanding of that experience or any misinterpretation of that experience will shadow our reaction to everything else. Just because you know something about someone doesn't mean you know the sum total of who they are. And so Jesus says, well, you've been with me for all this time. I'm not really concerned about what other people think about me. What about you? You've been walking with me. You've been with me. Who do you say that I am? And in that moment, he had to have a clarity of thought. He said, thou art the Christ. And he tells him, well, flesh and blessed are you. Flesh and blood did not reveal that, but my Father, which in heaven. And he said, and upon this rock, I shall call it, and I shall build my church. Church is ecclesia. It's a calling out. And so God is telling us that he's trying to call us out in this moment that we're dealing with, in this chaos and this confusion and all kinds of stuff that's happening. In this moment, he's calling us out to be that light on the hill, to be that direction that the world needs, to be the voice of clarity, to be the voice of purity, because there's a lot of people that's looking for everything. And my children right now have been dealing with going to school at home, and they have a issue that's going on psychologically. They can't socialize, they can't interact, they can't do this with their friends. And so they're dealing with all kinds of things that's going on. And so they're being filtered and infiltrated with all kinds of, inundated with everything. And so I have to make sure that in my striving to keep myself in position with Christ, in proximity with Christ, I want to make sure that I'm giving them a direction and something that they can grab to, that they don't have the leaven of the Pharisees or the Sadducees or have wrong thinking or wrong ideologies that then they train and then move in the next direction and next area. So I believe that in this time and this season that's happening right now as a church, as children of God, as individuals, that we got to be careful of who we're associating with. We got to be careful of what we're listening to. We got to be careful of what we believe into. There's a lot of ideologies and things that's coming in that's false, that's trying to infiltrate, that's trying to dilute who we are. We got to be careful that we're trying to be everything to everyone, that we don't lose our identity and our marker, that it defines us from who we really are. We got to let loose of the stuff that we thought means something, who we are, all our little isms and all our little schisms and all the little stuff that's trying to define us and pick away at who we are. And we got to be really real and true with Christ and who we are. And that comes a time of introspection where we have to really sit back and look at ourselves and examine ourselves. And if the pandemic didn't do anything, it isolated us and insulated us to be able to examine ourselves and do just an examination to really see where we are, so that when we move in this next moment in this place, because Jesus takes them to the place of Caesarea Philippi, which is the place where they had to worship the Pan, the fertility god. And they did all kinds of stuff, and they thought that at this particular cave, that there was a water in the cave, and that they would go in the wintertime, and they would keep themselves there in the wintertime. And so the people would do all kinds of acts outside of the cave to try to bring in or bring out the God, to try to ask the God to come and bring a blessing to them, so to speak. And Pan is where we get the root word panic. And so God has taken them, Jesus has taken them in a place where there's panic and chaos and everybody's doing everything else. And he says, but where do I stand with you? And I believe that what's happening in this world, everything right now, we've got to make sure that we know where we stand with God and we know who he is, who we are, and who we can call on. It's okay to be concerned about what's happening in the policies and the White House and this and that, but we have got to make sure that we keep God first and foremost, repent from the issues that cause us, get rid of the isms that's destroying us, and I'm thinking and ideologies that's not pure, and remove ourselves from the leaven that's trying to dilute us and be in a position to where God can bless us. Because when we really know who he is to us, God says, blessed are you, and I want them in that position to be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Now I want to open that opportunity up for anyone. We can just conversate and talk, because I believe we're dealing in a time right now, brothers and sisters, and Dr. Clayton, where the church is really looked at, even if we're not aware of it. They're looking, the world is looking at us for direction. And I'm concerned that we're losing our spiritual identity because we're trying to fit in and trying to pull with everybody, that our prejudices are coming, so to speak. Our prejudices coming on the forefront, that we are identifying who we are based on what we have been thinking for a long time. And it's not really purity of thought and clarity of thought, but it's based on party lines or what it is. That's why we have all kinds of injustices and everything else, and that's why people are, they can't understand that God says, what you do to the least of them, you do unto me. So we're the church. We have to be in that position to where we can be looked at to be that light in this dying, decaying world.
Amen. All mics are open for any questions, any comments for the bishop. All you have to do
no
is talk on my show. But you know, Bishop, you know, my comment is when we have a line and no one has anything to say, that means that they are being fed and the food is good. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, when people are sitting around the table and the food is good, nobody's talking. They're just eating and just, you know, enjoying the food and digesting it. That's how I, you know, respond to people when they don't want or they don't have anything to say or anything to share.
I mean, you bring a dynamic word.
You know, you're bringing a dynamic word. And, you know, you're definitely on point in terms of where we are. So, you know, before I bring my comments, any other comments out here? I see a few parents.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, I was going to say that I agree with you, and I hear what you're saying. I definitely hear what you're saying. I think that the church has to wake up and to definitely take a stand, because like you were saying, that there's so many that they're showing their cards or they're showing their true self. But those of us who are in the body of Christ, who want to do kingdom work and are about God's business and God's agenda and purposeful living, that we need to get back to evangelism and preaching and teaching God's word, sharing the gospel, and living sanctified and holy lives as a witness to those that are not in the church, to those that do not know Jesus Christ. But we have to be the example, and I think that COVID has brought us to a place where some folks still believe that the church is that building, but those of us who have gone on with our relationship with Christ, regardless of whether we're in the edifice or not, that the church is the body of Christ. It's us folks. And are we doing the work? And what are we doing? And we need to come up with plans of how do we move forward. Like, I think about everyone's going back to the doors of the building are opening up again and people are going back into the building. But what's going to be different when we go back in? You can't back in the same way. We can't go back in the same way, doing the same thing. So what's going to be different? How are we going to minister differently? How are we going to be better?
Amen.
I'd like to also piggyback on that as well. Let's be careful about who we surround ourselves with. The people we surround ourselves with are of godly nature. They know God's word. We know God's word. And we're in a position of spreading the gospel. And like with this pandemic going on, we're not going into the God's house but our God's house is with us. And it's more of a challenge, I suspect, you know, but anyway, to stay focused when we're not in our church at home. But we have to remember that with God's word, we're at God's house. And we have to make sure we carry ourselves in the correct way and not roll around in the mud. But anyway, stay clean, stay spiritual, and follow God's words, because we're spreading the gospel, and we want to make sure what we do, we don't serve as a stumbling block to somebody else being able to reach God. We're servants and teachers, but we all have roles to fulfill in our work in God's body, as a part of God's body in spreading the gospel and doing his work, whether we're teaching, singing, cleaning or whatever, we're teaching, we're spreading God's gospel, spreading the word.
Amen. I think that the church, to some degree, if we're careful, we're not operating from, I don't say we're not, but we have to be cautious that we continue or we begin or some, whatever it might be, that we're operating from a place of relational intimacy. I think that when we talk about in Matthew 16, when Jesus says, beware of the leaven, he didn't say don't partake, he said beware, because he also knows that leaven is a part of fermentation. And for man and man alone, he's always going to have to combat with the fermentation to get to the purification of truth. Any type of truth, he's going to have to sift through what is false and this false doctrine. So he now has to operate from what we call, or what I like to call, the state or acts of understanding and the acts of love. And so in the last days, perilous times, love will wax cold. So lots of times people are operating from this state of understanding, and it's not a purified truth, because the understanding has its root in ideologies in something that's already biased to them. That's why you don't have people that agree with certain particular things. And if you're not careful, when people come back into the church, as you say, the preachers are going to have to combat with all of this leaven that's in the house of God, because people have been paralyzed into themselves, and they've been inundated with things to themselves, because it's nothing no worse than a person trying to understand something through Google and Facebook. I tell people all the time, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with it, but if you have to put Facebook and got to put all your business on Facebook, and you live and feed off of somebody's comments, something is really wrong with your ideology, your own thinking. You should not have to let somebody else feed you comments in order to now make you feel good. That's eating the leaven and stuff. And Jesus, the same way that Jesus did with the disciples, he tells the Pharisees, he says, you're all looking for signs. You know how to deal with this, but you can't deal with the spiritual aspect of things. And if the church is not careful, we will substitute what's spiritual for what is an understanding and rationalize it based on our own biases. And we've got to be careful with that.
Can I speak, man?
Any other comments? Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I do. If I'm not mistaken, I think you said something about many of us are expecting God to validate who he is to us. But I can only speak for me. And if God never blessed me with another breath, with all that I've been through in the past seven years, I would know he doesn't have to do anything else to validate himself to me. I know who he is. And as far as spreading his word or ministering to other people, I can only minister in the steps that I've taken in my life and what I've gone through. So I think that's how I can set out his word through what I've been through, what I understand. I'm done.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. That's good. And you know, and you, when you talk about that, you think, you know, Jesus was addressing the Pharisees and Sadducees, which they were proud individuals. So they always proud. They always wanted a sign. They wanted to trap him because, in essence, if he gave them something, he could say, they could say, well, he's doing this by the prince of the air. And if he didn't, they could say that he wasn't who he said he is. But when you really have a relationship with Christ, just like you said, he doesn't have to prove to you who he is. He's already done it just by waking us up this morning, that he's God all by himself. And mm-hmm. sometimes I wonder, and I know that this is, I mean, the Bible says in Psalms 22, I think they said that the Roman soldiers, when they, in Matthew, I think it was 27, at the crucifix, at the cross, they were gambling for his clothes, and they tried to divide his clothes, but he had a seamless garment, I know, so they cast it lots. And could God be telling us something that in man's attempt to divide, in man's theological attempt to understand Christ, that they would divide him into these things, what we call denominations, because certain denominations think that they have a closer connection with Christ than others. I was just watching TV yesterday, or surfing through the TV yesterday, and as I was surfing through, there was on a TV show that there was, and I'm not talking about anyone's religion, anyone's faith or anything, but there was something on the TV show that a gentleman was looking at these sister wives or something like this, and he's having three or four wives, and so he's saying we got to pray to God and this and that. Okay, well, what part of your understanding allowed you to even think that that was even acceptable, where some people did and some people did, you know, this type of thing? So I'm thinking that we are so caught up in looking at things from one way, but when we have an intimate relationship, his spirit leads us into all truth, into all righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Yes,
yeah.
Amen.
Now, I good evening, gentlemen. This is Pastor Robinson. I was listening to Bishop speaking. You know, we do have to be very careful about what we put into our minds, what we allow to come into our minds, because as he was saying about the many wives in these days and times, and you know, people will, we are people that who will listen to almost anything.
Yeah.
And we'll believe almost anything. You know, there's that old saying that says, seeing is believing. You can see a whole lot of things, but you don't have to believe it. And I believe that, you know, God has given us a spirit of discernment if we are his followers. This is just me. If we follow Christ in footsteps in the way that we should, then God will give us a spirit of discernment. And the things that we see and we think are right, but they're not right. And we connect ourselves with the world, and we start doing worldly things because we see worldly things. You know, anything can happen. I think I was sharing with a guy at work today that anything can happen. People can make us believe anything that we are not connected with. Anything can be written. Anything can be spoken. And if we are not careful, we'll believe that, and we'll wind up following just about anything. As Paul was talking about itching ears, we'll follow anything that'll make us feel good. So Bishop, I thank you for the word that tells us, that you were saying, that we have to be careful as followers of Christ. We got to be real careful in that. I don't know if I was all
Amen.
Over the place with that or not, if I made myself clear, but just to get the point across, we have to be careful, really careful, and what we see, say, and do.
Right. You know, brother, I think that many people who are really adversarial to your gifting or whatever the gifting that God has placed on you, many people who it's in your close proximity that's adversarial to the gift that God's given you, is not comfortable with or probably even identified with their own, because otherwise they would announce who you are and celebrate the companionship. And so we got to be careful that we're around people that's going to celebrate the companionship more so than be adversarial to the gifting that you have.
Amen.
And this is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, leaven that's in the church. So it's in the church. And I know, Pastor, you're a preacher, you see it. Sometimes lay people, regular people that come on Sunday mornings don't see it. But ministers and preachers, for whatever reason, that some feel like they got to perform, not perform, but outperform other people, and they're doing it for all the wrong reasons. And I'm not saying it because I'm in a small area, but when you're in a little pond, you can see a lot clearer than you could if you was in an ocean. But it's everywhere. People are so into striving to accomplish their own feats, to sound their, put a feather in their own cap, so to speak, that it's not doing it for the right reasons. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Christ, and it was not doing it for the right reasons. And we're doing church for all of the wrong reasons, and we're talking about it, and we're speaking it, and we're looking like this, and we're being like that, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. But in all actuality, when you start sitting at that table, you eat them that bread that is not good. And I tell people all the time, I don't have to boast or brag about who I am, but we all have a gift. Every single one of us has a gift.
That's right.
And if you're around if you are around people that does not recognize your gifting, what they said to you in any unspoken words is that they would rather starve in your presence than now be edified with what God has placed in you. And so you have to remove yourself from those type of things.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I was listening to question about going back into the church, the statements about going back to church as the pandemic is dying down, and I think the sister said, how are we going to go in? You know, what are we going to do? You know, you can't go in the same way that you came out. You know,
amen.
And I want to piggyback on that too, because you know we can't go back in the same way we came out. The way we have come out of church is we come out almost to what you were saying, glorifying ourselves rather than glorifying God. You know, we come out trying to put on a show and, as you were saying, competing against one another. Even you got pastors and preachers and evangelists and teachers and leaders who compete to see who can do something better, or who can say something better, or who can use the biggest words, or who can preach the longest, or who can get more across in a shorter period of time. So I believe that we have to go back into church. We have to go back into church doing one thing that I don't think, that I believe a lot of Christians come out of church not doing, and that is praising God.
Amen. Right.
That's the way we have to go back in the church. Don't worry about the color of the pews or where you sit or where you were sitting before the pandemic. Don't worry about who's coming through the back door or what's going to be done next. Just go in and praise God. Worship God, because it is
right.
Him. It is Him who brought us thus far. It is Him who has gotten us over this bridge and getting us through this time of pandemic. It's God. So we can't, I'll say it again, we cannot go back into church doing the same old thing that we came out of church doing. I mean, it's
right.
It's, wow.
Right, And can I say something just to defend preaching? You know, I didn't blast us and not defend us. The other part of the other aspect of that, or the flip side of that, is for the lay people, not just the preachers, but I think we have adopted this mindset because there are people, when we come, as you said, come back into church, we want to make sure that people come back into church. I heard this comment all the time. I'm going to come and get a word. I'm coming to get a word. If you're coming to get something from God, the preacher is always going to give you something. So all they are is just giving you spiritual Novocaine. They drug you and numb you for the hour or 2 hours that they're there, and you go back out and your life doesn't change. But God said, present yourself a living sacrifice. Quit coming to church trying to get something from God, but give yourself to Him and watch He bless you.
Give yourself. Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. Amen to that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't speak for nobody else, but I know how I came out. I know how I came out. I came out quiet. and not giving God his glory. But I know how I'm going back in.
Amen.
That's right.
Ooh, hey, brother, I don't know who you are, but I got chills when you said that. Chills ran all through me when you said that. That's powerful.
Yeah, I'm a member of Bishop Story's church. And he asked me,
this is Sean.
Why I always close my eyes when they would be, you know, praying or they would have like the dance team up there or whatever, and I would just close my eyes. And I told him I would be worshiping God, but I always worship God like silent, and I know God wants to hear my voice, so I'm going to glorify him with my voice from now on.
Amen.
And not be shy.
Amen.
That's good. Now watch this. And I say this, and that's good. And that's good because I know him when we communicate on a regular basis, and that's good. And know this too, also, and I've learned this myself in my own walk, and I'm striving to do it. That praise does not really identify how much you love God. Repentance does. Repentance really identifies how much you love him.
Right. Because
you can praise him. You can praise him. The Bible says you can, his praise is being in this, but your heart be far from him. But when you repent, turn around and a change, that reveals how much you really love God. Because you're actually putting down something that you love to do or that you was engulfed in. And when you do that, praise automatically comes out because you repented. And, you know, and so I've learned that. Everybody worships a different way, but I got to be careful that lots of times you can worship and get caught up in emotion and you have a feel-good moment, but you ain't got no change. You don't have, excuse me, bad English, you ain't got no, but you don't have a change.
Right, I understand.
And
I'm not so
concerned about how much you shout, but how much you turn.
How much you turn. There you go, Mitchell.
Yeah, amen.
There you go.
I got it.
Amen.
Are there any other comments? Any other comments on the line? Like to make any comments? The mics are open. Amen. We're just dialoguing and just feeding off the word of God and encouragement to help us continue with our journey. Any more comments? The mics are open.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. I tell you, just listening have blessed my heart. When I come in the church, I'm going to come in repenting, and then I'm going to start shouting because God done forgave me, turned me around. I'm not going in, you know, looking for the word. I'm going to receive it. I tell you, everything you said, this is just Mother Gloria, and I'm just a shouter. I'm a praiser, but you know what? I repent because I had to look at myself this morning at 3 o'clock. Anyone ever have been praying and God showed you yourself and it brought you to tears?
Yeah.
But I think what this pandemic has done for me, it has brought a change. It has brought a relationship that I have now that I didn't have before, because he has brought me from somewhere. He has showed me some things. And you know what? It's all about him. It's not about a title. But I just come to serve. He said he didn't come to be served. He come to serve. I'm just a servant of God. So to all of those, I ditto everything that you said. I came on late, but I tell you, I have been blessed. And sometimes when you just listen, you can receive so much.
Yeah,
and I want you to know, Bishop, I
receive. Amen. Thank you.
And you bless
my
heart.
God bless
Thank you so much for allowing me just to share.
Amen. I heard what you said also, and I have to be honest and say, yes, God has talked to me in the middle of the night at different times. You know, I think all of us, but I'm just going to be honest. And I asked him one time, why are you always talking to me in the middle of the night and show me in the middle of the night? He said, so nobody else can't see you, so you won't be ashamed of what you're really looking at. And so I repent a lot of times myself, so I'm thankful for that. So keep me in prayer, you know. Amen.
Yes, amen. Yeah.
Amen. Wow, that's good stuff. Yeah, praise the Lord. Any other comments? The mics are open.
You know, I don't want to hog up the mic and not like that, but man, I'm just feasting right now. I was trying to listen to Mr. Stores. While I was eating my physical food, I was also eating my spiritual food. So,
yeah.
I am Elder Clay, you and some of the others have already heard the testimony from the time that I've had. And you know, I have not slowed down. Even though when I was septic, the spirit was trying to slow me down. But I refuse to back down, and God has given me a new beginning. New beginning. God has given me a new beginning, and that's why I can say, you know, wherever I go or whatever I do, if there is a word, I don't go with an empty plate. I try not to ever go with an empty plate.
Yeah.
I try to always go. As sister said, to serve, and mm-hmm. you know, and at the same time to be served, you know. So it's just a word from you, Bishop. I'm one of these guys that really believe in bishops, and I love bishops. I want to tell you that now. I love the knowledge of the word.
Please, God, I
wish I was a bishop. But I just love to hear you speak because your voice is so subtle and boy, you get it across.
And I just praise God for you.
I praise God for you.
Amen. Yes, amen. God bless you. God bless you. But I'm not caught up. I'll tell you right up, and I tell everybody knows here me. I'm really not caught up on titles. I appreciate that, and
I
thank God that you even honor that.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you. But it's not about a title. Because there's a lot of people that get caught up on titles, and we've seen through what we've had and all kinds of things right now that the titles don't really make the person, because there's all kinds
that's
of people with titles that doesn't. I say this, God anoints the office, and a lot of people step into the office that's anointed, but not actually anointed for the office. So I just thank God that, you know, He uses me, but, you know, I'm not caught up on that, but bless you. Bless you. So I want to make sure I say that so God hears me and knows that I'm not called
Amen. Amen.
I do understand about how some people get called upon title.
Right.
But I was just doing my due respect. I just want you to know I love hearing you, man. So.
Amen. Thank you. And again, I'm just very honored. Very honored. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, all that means, Bishop, is that means you have to become a little bit more regular. I'll let you read.
Hey, I appreciate it. I thank you for the opportunity. Anytime I'm able to, I really thank you. You don't know. I mean, when you send the message and call or send a message, I get so hyped up, so to speak. If I can say it in West Virginia, during I'm so get so amped. So thank you. I appreciate that so much. Thank you, God.
Yes. Any more comments? Any more comments? Amen. The mics are open. Amen. Praise God.
It's a very powerful educational word spiritually and spiritual nourishment. But thank you.
Amen.
Bishop, we'd like to thank you here at New Beginnings Vienna for taking the time, you know, to come forth to share a word from the God. I knew, you know, that you were going to come with something that was thought-provoking. And we do appreciate, you know, each and every time that you do come when you can, you know, because we do understand that when you are working, you know, servant for the Lord, you know, that you're busy, you know, that you're busy.
Yeah.
Someone takes out time, you know, takes out their time, you know, to come forth. You know, that means that there's a personal relationship that they have with God.
Please, God.
You know,
yeah.
not coming for glory, but just a personal relationship just to share. So I thank you for taking out time, you know, to do that. You made a comment in terms of wrong thinking and wrong ideologies, you know, and when we look about in terms of going back and forth into the church with this social media and everything that we have, I think that you're right on target, because since there has been such a divide, the mindset of people, if they do not come back in with a total repentance, it's going to be another story. I mean, that's the key. We all sin, fall short of the glory of God. So what that means, that means that every day we're falling short. Every day we're making mistakes. Every day we have to constantly go before God.
Yes, we do. My God, my God.
Forgiveness. For the things seen as well as unseen.
Amen.
And I believe that when we get to that point, where we get to that point when it becomes on a daily basis, you know, it can be a minute-by-minute basis, that relationship becomes stronger with the Lord. And let me tell you something. I believe that the closer that we get to the Lord, then God takes us to another level. He takes us to another level. We can't even imagine, can't even think about. He takes us to another level. The anointing becomes so strong that you don't even have to say anything.
My
you
God.
Don't even have to say anything.
And come on,
say that.
Amen. That's right.
You know, I constantly use the term of selling out for God. Selling out for God. That means that you give up everything. I'm not talking about something over here just in case it don't work. I'm talking about selling out for Christ. And when you sell out for Christ, I believe that God just takes the person to the mountaintop. You know, and that's where problem comes, you know, with wrong thinking, wrong ideology. And if we don't get rid of, you know, that wrong thinking, that wrong ideology, you know, there's no way possible that we can have that personal relationship with God. And so that's just how I feel about that. And I believe that you're doing within community, within the church. You know, I heard it from my brother, you know, Sean, you know, in terms of, you know, obviously, you know, you're preaching the right word. You know, you're preaching the right word. Coming in with a renewed mind, a renewed spirit. So that's just a testimony of what you're doing within the church. And you know what? That's what we all are doing or trying to do. We're all trying to hear and be encouraged. Isn't it beautiful that we can go around the world and just hear different testimonies? And you know what?
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
We glean a little bit from each person. Somebody brings another gift. Oh, I've never thought about that. But isn't that what the body's about? How can the arm work if the foot is not working?
Amen.
Right.
How can the body work as together if one part is not working? Have you ever had your toe is hurting, and then you're trying to walk with your toe hurting? It appears like your whole body has just been just messed up. It just messes up everything. Messes
yes,
up your mind.
Yes, it does. Amen. Yes. Amen.
The body of Christ is. We have to come together working as a unit. It's not about, you know, you spoke about in terms, if not about coming out and then putting on a show, because
that's
God
right.
is not.
Ooh,
right.
Glory.
God is
hallelujah.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is looking for those who are humble, who's not looking for gratitude for self, but gratitude for God. So that's how I received what was being said.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for speaking
to
my
thank
spirit.
You, Jesus.
I thank you for that.
Praise God. Amen.
I thank you for that.
Amen.
May God bless you. May God bless you.
Praise God. Praise
God.
May God
bless you.
Thank you.
Any final comments before we come to a close?
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Also with prayer and the benediction.
Okay. You want me to do the prayer now?
Yes, right. Sir. Whatever,
Father,
whatever
we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you now for this day, for this opportunity. We thank you now for the fellowship. We ask that you
thank
be with
you,
us
Jesus.
And guide us. And as we depart from this place and never from your presence, even if we turn our backs on you, we'll still be faithful. We ask at that time that you give us your grace and mercy, turn us around that we might do what thus saith the Lord. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name we pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you all.
Thank you so much.
Bless you.
May God bless you. Please remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Amen.
Thank you.